All right. If you wouldn't, your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Boy, I enjoy that song. Appreciate Brother Jantz. Tonight we're going to again preach on the subject of foundational truths every member of Heritage should know. And this tonight will be very brief. I'm going to preach for 15 minutes. Y'all ready? All right. Then we have baptism, and then we're going to have a business meeting. And so tonight's subject, I've switched my subject tonight because it does require less, if you would, in the area of explaining. And the subject is prayer. Prayer and Bible reading are two of the hardest things as a Christian you'll face. It's unbelievable, isn't it? How many of you have been saved a long time, and it may have taken you years to develop a prayer life and a devotional time with the Lord. I'll never forget one time I went to Brother Rigsby, who was our school administrator at the seminary I went to, and went to Brother Rigsby, and I asked him, I said, Brother Rigsby, I'm struggling with my Bible reading time and my personal time. And Brother Rigsby said to me, he said, now again, administrator of the school, he said, it took me 10 years to develop a consistent prayer life and a consistent devotional time with the Lord. What I'm saying is this, don't give up. Encourage you. If you say, well, I've been saved for 20 years and still don't have it tackled. Keep at it. Amen. Bad habits are hard to break and good habits are hard to start. Amen. And just, you know, tonight I just encourage you from the very front, pick it back up. Pick the Word of God back up and read through it. And begin that prayer life again. Begin that prayer time again. Look at Philippians chapter 4. And let's read in verse 6. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. In other words, listen, don't just pray about the big things, pray about the little things. You know, listen, every decision, every area ought to be prayed about. Whether it's buying a vehicle or praying for somebody who's sick. A family member or a loved one or a church family member. But we need to be careful for nothing. But in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. One of the things I've learned over the last couple of years even is when I'm praying, especially if I believe it's absolutely in the will of God, I'll say, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Sometimes He just needs to hear us say thank you. Amen. And not only for what He's done, but what He's going to do. You know, if you're praying for rain, bring an umbrella, right? Amen. So we need to pray with a sense of anticipation that God is going to answer that prayer as you seek God's will in that area. But look at verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen to me tonight. Prayer produces peace. If you'll develop a prayer life and you'll develop that, God will give you tremendous peace. Peace concerning your life, peace concerning your job, peace concerning every area of your life. God will give you that peace. And not just any kind of peace, but peace that passeth all understanding. I'm glad the Lord, during my difficult times, and whether it's the loss of a child or the loss of a pawpaw, and that God gives that peace that passes all understanding. Isn't it amazing? Amazing. Prayer. Prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God. If you want God to move on your behalf, you better pray. You know, the word prayer simply means ask. By the way, if you're praying and you're not asking for nothing, you're not praying. Prayer means ask. When you go to God, you should pray. Ask Him. We'll cover that in a moment. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You tonight. What a great subject this is. Lord, in the brief amount of time I'm going to spend on this, I pray tonight would be an encouragement to those who come out who would, again, if they have slacked in this area, I pray, Lord, that they would just return to it and begin to just seek You on a daily basis. We do pray for those who are sick tonight, several in the hospital and traveling. Pray, Lord, You be with our church family, keep them safe. And, Lord, again, we ask for Your blessings tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, prayer is simply talking with God. Talking with God. Believe me, this is kind of one of my areas. I'll never forget, I was reading an article by Charles Haddon Spurgeon about prayer. And this has been 15, 16 years ago. And as I was reading the article, And he was talking about prayer as simply talking to God. And I thought about, again, about so many who, when they pray, they're not really talking. You know what I'm saying? We need to be careful in our prayers. We're just simply talking to God. We need to be careful. Listen to this one. And you guys, don't think that I'll listen to your prayer from now on and think you got something wrong. But we need to be careful about vain repetition in our prayers. They can become almost, chants if we're not careful. We need to be careful about using the word Lord as a filler. Lord, thank you for this. And Lord, and Lord, Lord, every three or four words. I ought to be careful about that. Can I say, I won't be mean the rest of the service. But I do think we need to be careful about taking the Lord's name in vain. And just simply saying it as a filler. The Lord's name's not a filler. Amen? And you say, well, preacher, that's the way I was raised. I understand that. And listen, that's between you and God. But it is talking to God. Talk to Him as you would talk to your earthly dad. And sure, I come to my dad with reverence. Don't get me wrong, my earthly dad. I reverence Him when I come to Him. And we need to come to God in reverence. But talk to Him. When you're in that private devotional time, when you're in your prayer closet, talk to Him as you would your earthly father. Spend time with Him. Prayer is simply talking to God. Why should a Christian pray? Ephesians tells us that prayer helps defeat Satan. Oh man. Matthew says the same thing when Jesus again was there praying. He's, praying defeats Satan. You're not going to defeat Satan in your life if you're not praying. You're not going to get victory in your Christian life if you're not praying. We need to pray. We also understand as a Christian that prayer produces peace. I just read that a moment ago. Produces peace. You want peace in your life? Pray. Prayer will bring such calmness in your life and peace about what's going on in your life. Whether somebody has offended you and somebody has done you wrong, the Bible says pray for those who despitefully use you. I've had it many times in my life. I have felt that tinge of bitterness and I began to pray for that person and pray for that person. And you know what? Over time, my attitude towards them changed. I didn't feel the bitterness anymore. I didn't feel the anger anymore. Amen? Prayer changes things. And prayer will bring about peace and calmness in your life. Prayer is God's appointed way for the believer to obtain things. Matthew says, hey, come to God, ask Him. He says, if you ask for a snake, if you ask for bread, He's not going to give you a rock. If you ask for fish, He's not going to give you a snake. He said, listen, if your earthly father would give you good things, don't you believe your heavenly father would give you good things? Amen. Ask, and that shall be given unto you. We need to ask. Boy, if you ever get a chance, go on the internet, look up John R. Rice, and find the message, Asking and Receiving, by John R. Rice. You can find it. It's on the internet several places. And what a blessing you get. He just simply said, ask, and you shall receive. That's what the Word Bible says. Amen. Ask and you shall receive. Amen. And God wants to do good things for you. Listen, God always has your best interest in mind. I've said that 1,000 times. And He will give you good things. Prayer aids the work of God. He says, pray for laborers. Pray for those who are working. Pray for the Sunday school teachers. Pray for the soul winners. Pray for your missionaries. It aids in the laboring. You say, preacher, you're saying that the missionary, Brother Burgeon tonight, if I pray for him, that it will help him as he labors? That's what the Bible says. I just believe the Bible. Pray for the laborer. Pray for him. Again, I think of Brother Midori tonight, there with his wife and children in a little compound with gates, and he's got a electric fence trying to keep people out of his home, and it's a mess. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for their labors. Pray for their protection. Your prayers matter. It's kind of like saying your vote matters. One vote matters. In this day and age, one vote does matter. Absolutely. Makes a big difference, especially two or three votes yesterday. Anyway, prayer matters. Your prayer matters. And when you go to God, you're praying for your pastor, praying for, again, those around you. It will make a difference. The Bible says so. Prayer aids the work of God. Prayer was practiced by Jesus Christ. Enough said. Let's have an invitation. Amen? Right? I mean, if Jesus practiced it, and we're to follow His example, then we should pray. Pray. Take time to pray. When should a Christian pray? The Bible describes Christ as praying in the morning in Mark chapter 1. The Bible describes Christ as praying at night, Luke chapter 6. The Bible describes Christ praying when He was busy, Luke chapter 4. The Bible describes Christ praying before He made a decision. When He chose the 12 apostles, remember, He got apart and He prayed. So we should pray in the morning. We should pray at night. We should pray when we're busy. We should pray before we make decisions. Or Paul states this in 1 Thessalonians, pray without what? Ceasing. Pray without ceasing. We should always be in an attitude of prayer. We should always be in an attitude of prayer. There shouldn't be a time in our lives when we can't just simply, in our car or at work, that we shouldn't be able to just simply, even in our minds, just pray to the Lord right then and there. We don't have to go over and put a coat over our head and get in a little ball. And you pray right then, right? Pray over your food as you're going down the highway. You don't have to close your eyes. But Jesus Christ, the Lord, is not so concerned about the posture of the body. He's more concerned about the posture of the heart. Whether you're kneeling or standing or gazing or whatever the case is, He's more concerned, are you kneeling? Is your heart kneeling? Or is your heart humble before Him? Amen. Pray without ceasing. In other words, always be in the attitude of prayer. Always be in that humility of mind and there before God praying to Him. What hinders prayer? Unconfessed sins. Isaiah 59. In fact, the Bible says God doesn't hear the prayer of a sinner. That is so pointed, so matter of fact, that we need to be so careful when we go to God in prayer that we first off get sin settled first. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I have prayed about this situation, but God hasn't answered my prayer. I believe, absolutely, in my own life, I practice it. If my prayers aren't answered, the first thing I do is find out whether or not it's my sin. Lord, is it me hindering this prayer? You say, well, Brother Crawford, every time I go to pray, then I have to confess my sins. You got it right. Absolutely. Y'all don't mind if I just say one more other thing, right? One more other thing. Somebody who gets up in public and says, Lord, forgive us of our sins. It'd be a lot better if you just get in your closet and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Amen. Amen. Because you can't forgive me. Your prayer won't help my sins. Lord, forgive me of my sins. And then begin to name them. It's a name it game. Better not be blanket with God. Come to Him humbly. Lord, forgive me of saying that to my wife. Lord, forgive me of getting angry with my children. Lord, forgive me of talking bad about the preacher. Lord, forgive me. Just go to Him and confess those sins. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if you come to Him and confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Every time, by the way. You say, well, preacher, I've asked forgiveness 1,000 times. Ask again. He'll forgive again. That's the kind of God I serve. Amen? Amen. Unconfessed sins hinders our prayer. Unbelief, we should come to God believing. Believing. Again, anticipating that He will answer. This is one of the hard areas in our Christian life. One of the areas we must work on. We believed Him when we come to Him for salvation, didn't we? Amen. We believe Him. But yet when we go to pray about something as little or as big, many times, in our, something going on in our life, many times we don't believe He'll do anything. And if we don't believe He'll do anything, why should He answer? My brother called me up about three or four weeks ago. He moved to Kansas and he took a pastor up there with all 9 kids. Imagine hiring a pastor with 9 kids. That's $50. Had to raise his salary a little bit, wouldn't you? Anyway, he went up there and he called me and said, asked some advice about some things, about going to Dad, about some advice. I said, man, go to Dad. Go to your Heavenly Father. When you're seeking advice or wisdom and And he was asking my advice too, but he said, should I talk to Dad about this? I said, absolutely. You always talk to Dad about it. I talk to Dad about things that I know he's going to get on to me about. I love telling on myself. I do. I've always been, my wife would testify to it. You know, just go to Dad and say, hey, here's what's happened. Here's what's going on. You know, and I'm glad I have a dad who will pray with me and will, you know, comfort me. And our Heavenly Father will do the very same thing. Go to Him, anticipating that He will answer your prayer. Go to Him. Many times our prayers are hindered because they're insincere. We talked about this one prior to the revival meeting. Remember, we preached like 3 or 4 weeks on prayer. I hope some of y'all remember that. Listen tonight. If you go to God and you ask a request, but your motives are insincere, your motives are wrong, don't expect Him to answer it. If you're going and asking for the salvation of a soul simply so he'll be a better person to his wife and children, He's not going to answer that prayer. You go to Him with your motives correct. Lord, that person needs to get saved because they need a home in heaven. Amen? We need to be careful about our motives when we pray for people. This is one of the areas I've worked on as a pastor. I look out of the congregation, I see visitors there, and I begin to think, they could do this, they could do that, they can do this, they can do that, and it all becomes about what they can do for the church. Nobody else ever thinks that way? I'm the only one. Maybe because I'm the only pastor, right? But we do got to be careful about our motives with people. I took my shoes off too much tonight. I haven't got too familiar with y'all. We're good? Amen? Some of y'all didn't get that. That's a country expression. I took my shoes off. I hadn't took my socks off yet. We're not going to tell you that much. Man, if you saw everything inside, it'd be tough. Anyway, so we must be careful about our motivation. And number two, we must be very careful about, again, along the same lines, going to God being selfish about our prayer requests. In other words, our motives are selfish. They're carnal. I want this because it will do for me. It's all about me. We've got to be very careful when we come to Him. James 4:2 says that God will answer your prayers. James 5:16 says that God will bless your prayers. God will answer your prayers. And God will bless your prayers if you'll simply go to Him and ask. Now, there's so much more. We are commanded in Luke 18 to pray. We're commanded to pray. It's not an option. We're to pray. If you want to be right with the Lord, you need to have a prayer life. Again, it's just like if our goal in our Christian life is to be like the Lord Jesus, then in order to be like Him, we must develop a relationship with Him. That's what He desires. And if we're going to develop a relationship, we've got to talk to Him. It's just as if I took my wife as my, or Tanya as my wife, and then we never talked. We would never get to know each other. Right? You've got to talk to your Heavenly Father. Talk to Him to get to know Him. Again, coming to Him. We mentioned this several months back too, that when we pray, that God helps us. Do you understand, according to Romans 8, that Jesus Christ is praying for you? He's praying for me. He prays for us. He's there to help us in our prayers. In fact, the Bible says when you come and you kneel before God, your heart humbly before God, and when you're praying, and the anguish and the pain are so great that you really don't know what to utter, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will utter those things that you cannot express. Isn't that good? I've been there. And even in my groanings that I could not truly utter, I felt a peace because the Holy Spirit did for me what I couldn't do for myself. Lastly, Romans chapter 10, Paul says he's praying for the lost. I can't encourage you enough to find somebody who's lost and pray for them. We made a list during the revival meeting, remember? I hope you still got your list. I got mine. Praying for those men. Praying for those individuals that they'll get saved. Praying that God will open their eyes, illuminate them that they might understand. Praying that God will bring some soul winner by that they may be able to tell the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you tonight for your love. We thank you so much, God, that you've allowed us to come to you in prayer. And Lord, that we can know you this way. I pray tonight that you would help us to be more consistent in our prayer life. Lord, we thank you that you will answer our prayers. God, we pray that you would just, again, help and lead us and give us the peace that only you can give. In Jesus' name, amen.